So as we look at today's passage, I thought we'd kind of try and get a different experience of it. So if you'd like to take a Bible out from under your seat, I've put Bibles under every alternate seat today. So there should be plenty available. Kids, if you want to grab one as well, grab a Bible from behind your seats. There should be one. Everyone needs one to have one in their hand. I just think sometimes it's quite handy to have it and actually look at the passage itself. So I'll wait for everyone to get one. So back in the day, when I went to Youth House Group, we used to play a game called Bible Shotgun. And Bible Shotgun is a great game. If you're on your phone or you're on any electronic device, you're disqualified. So the way Bible Shotgun works is I say out the, read out the, pa- the say the passage, and the person that's got to get there quickest has got to shout me. So or you basically got to stand up effectively. So the first person to get to the passage wins effectively. So everyone have your Bibles closed. Make sure you're closed like that. No cheating. So the passage we're going to look at today is John 10, chapter 1. First person to get it, stand up and shout, I win. Stand up, please. Hey! Great job. Right, excellent. So if everyone else would like to get to John 10, chapter 1, we're going to be looking at verses 1 to 10 today. So I thought instead of me just reading it out normally, I would give you the option. So today you can read the passage for yourself and you can kind of look at it, or there's going to be a video played on screen. The video on screen is just of me walking around somewhere. You don't have to watch it. If you just want to look at your Bible and read that instead, that's totally fine. But if you want to kind of take in something visually, then feel free to watch the screen. So we're now going to play a video clip of today's reading.
Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him, because they recognize his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him, because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full."
Cheers, Nathaniel. So, to give you a bit of context to understand this story, we're going to look at John chapter 9. So, to be fair, if you want to flip back a page, or feel free to, I don't know, I haven't got it out in front of me. But basically, the Pharisees, which are basically a bunch of meanies, the Pharisees are basically trying to get Jesus. They're trying to catch him out. So when you're in the school playground and somebody says something to you, and they're trying to trick you, that's what the Pharisees are. And so in John chapter 9, basically Jesus heals a blind guy. And that was pretty cool, but this was on the Sabbath. A holy day, a day of rest, and basically like today, the Sunday. And so because this was Jesus' day off, the Pharisees didn't like this one bit. But Jesus had the power to do what he wanted to do, and he wanted to use this guy as a display of God's work. So he did. So now Jesus is using the example of a sheep's pen, flick back to chapter 10, to explain to the Pharisees, as most people back in the day were shepherds. And these shepherds would act as a physical gate on the sheep's pen. And they would lie down across the doorway to act as a gate.
I've now got to try and follow that seriously.
But I think you get the point. The point is that kind of they were acting out the sheep pen and that Jesus acts as the gate. But as we were looking at John 10 verses 1 earlier, if you want to keep your Bibles open, the passage is summed up a bit like the drama played out. The passage is all about gates and shepherds. But what actually makes a good gate? Well, what does a good gate need to be? Well, there's four things that I've got that a good gate needs to be. And I want you to kind of shout them out if you've got an idea as to what a good gate needs to be. What does a good gate look like? Sturdy, good shout. Any other shout, suggestions? Over here, what have we got? What would a good gate be? Bricks, you could have a gate out of bricks. Sturdy again though. Any other suggestions? Strong, love that. Secure. What does a gate do? Open and close. Excellent. Any others? What does a gate take you to?
Protective.
Protective, love that. Where, if you go through a gate, where does it take you?
Safe.
Other side, there we go, love that. So, I've got four things. I've got a good shape, a good gate needs to be recognisable, protective, it needs to open and close, and it needs to lead you somewhere. So those are the four things I want you to remember for this week. And so going back to the gates and doors we looked at earlier, you wouldn't go through those doors unless you recognise them. Who here would go through the Monsters, Inc. door?
Me!
Okay, you are braver than me. Trust me, I would not want to go into some random bedroom. I would not want it. But unlike that, who here would want to go through that pink door that I showed you earlier, where I was on the other side?
Me!
You are very brave. I highly doubt it. So why would you expect Jesus to do any differently? He wouldn't. So how is Jesus recognisable to us? Well, like sheep, we are sometimes under threat from others. So we learn to trust who's looking out for us. Sheep learn to do this by recognising their shepherd's voices. And this trust is only then established by the shepherd calling his own sheep by name. And only then do the sheep recognise their shepherd and trust them to lead them. And I think this is the same for us. We trust that God is looking out for us. We listen out for his voice. And only when he calls us by name are we then to follow and be led by him. And for me, the fact that he calls us by name in verse 3 is probably one of the most significant factors as to why every single one of us is sat here today in this building, as we all be individually being called in some way or another. So that's how the gate is recognisable to us. But how does it now protect us? Well, the way is the sheep pen is built, there's only one way in and out. And this reminded me of my stay in London last week. I was hanging out in Hyde Park with my friend, and it was getting late. So as we went to leave the park was getting, it was dusk, and the park was closing. We didn't know that, we weren't aware of it, we just had a good time, we were eating our food and it was fine. But we didn't realise the park shuts at dusk, and there was a sign in front of us saying there was only one way out of the park. So we went and followed the signs for the exit like sheep. When we got there, we discovered the exit was like a turnstile, if you want to see next slide. So it was like this, and there was only one way out, and you go through the turnstile, and once you're out of that, you're out of the park, you can't get back in. So we went through this, but as we were doing so, we saw some people trying to climb into the park. They were trying to get into the park through some other way, even though the park was shut. Some were trying to push against the turnstile. I saw one lady trying to get in through the turnstile. I don't know what she was doing, but unless she was like jelly, she wasn't getting through it. Some were even hopping over the fence. As you can see, the fence was like spiked, but people were trying to jump in through anyway, and I just wanted to get out. I was like, why do you want to come in? Oh, you can't see anything. And these people entering the park, not by the gate, are like the thieves and robbers in the passage in verse 1. You see, what Jesus is telling us in verse 8 is that everyone before him was not followed by the sheep, whereas these sheep follow him through the only entrance, the gate. There's only one entry, only one way that protects us and allows us to be saved. So that's how we're protected. So that's how we've got a gate that's recognisable to us, we've got a gate that's protective to us, and now we've got a gate that opens and closes. So for a gate to be any good, they need to open and close. Otherwise, you get stuck. A few years ago, I went on a family holiday to Italy, and my family are going to love this story. And we went to the Colosseum in Rome, which looks like this image up here. Massive building. You guys would absolutely love it. Feel free to go. Would highly recommend it. Why not? We spent ages queuing up with our ticket, and then we were then called up to go through this turnstile. And the turnstile looks like this. And so this turnstile was a different type of turnstile. So it's a different type of gate. And so younger Nate, thinking he was a cool Brit abroad, swaggered up and tried to be stylish entering the Colosseum. And so I kind of swiped my ticket on the barcode reader, pushed the turnstile, and then I somehow managed to kind of get my leg stuck like this on the turnstile. So bearing in mind the turnstile is a 3-pin one, the metal thing was like there. As a guy, it was so uncomfortable. And I was kind of straddled like this, and my family were wetting themselves. And I had this scary Italian guard looking at me like, what is this idiot doing in our country? Like, what is wrong with him? And so I was kind of stuck, but I was kind of straddled across, but it wasn't easily recoverable because this turnstile gate would only move once you scanned the ticket, but I'd already scanned my ticket once, so it wasn't moving again. And so I kind of had to get my family to lift me up and kind of fling over all the while this guy was absolutely scaring me and my family were laughing a lot. And so I finally got through into the Colosseum. I had a great time looking around it. Fortunately, I am not the gate. But as it says in verse 9, Jesus says, I am the gate, and whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out, and it's precisely that. With Jesus as the gate, we get to go in, and the gate opens for us and closes after we've gone through it, unlike the turnstile. So following on from that, with Jesus as the gate, what does this mean? Like, where does this take us? Well, continuing in verse 9, whoever enters through the gate will be saved, taking us to pasture. So that, as in verse 10, we have life. Life to the full, now and forevermore. Trust me, this is a gate or a door that you want to go through. There's only one way in which is recognisable to us. That is protected, which opens for us and leads us to a life on the other side. So I'm now going to invite you to go through that gate with me. If you want to have life to the full, we're going to do exactly what verse 3 says by asking Jesus to open the gate for us. We are then going to spend the next few minutes listening to his voice, and if he calls you by name, follow him to where he leads you. So now, as the music plays, I'm going to invite you in joining me to go through that gate. I'm going to invite you to do a brave thing, and if this is the first time you've ever wanted to enter through that gate, or haven't gone through that gate in a long time, I'm going to ask you to stand with me. So if you want to stand with me now, as the music plays, I'm going to invite you to come through that gate the first time or for the numerous times that you've been through it. But I want to invite you to have a life to the full. And so by doing that, Jesus invites us to go through that gate. So if you want to stand with me now, if that feels particularly poignant to you, feel free to stand with me. But don't worry, there's also a second call as well. Also, in the build-up to this service, God has really placed verse 3 on my heart. I was sat and refreshed the other week and felt this verse standing out to me. And in particular, what it is about this verse is that for some of us, we've lost track of hearing God's voice. Either we haven't heard it for a while, or we haven't had time, or we aren't really sure if God's listening to us. And I want to pray with you today, like in verse 3, that we'd listen to his voice and be called by name, and that we'd follow his voice. So again, I'm asking you to do a brave thing, and if in the next few minutes, whilst the music is playing, I want you to stand with me, and people will come and pray with you. But yeah, the music's now going to play. If you don't feel called by any of these things, that's totally fine. Just pray over that you would listen out for God's voice and hear what he has to say for you. But the music will be on for a few minutes, and yeah. So if at any moment you feel called by God, feel free to stand. But we're just going to spend the next few minutes listening to the music and asking to hear God's voice.